Welcome back to the Maybaum Perspective. We're so glad that you are here. Today, we are talking to our great Maybaum agents. We have a great team at Maybaum and are excited to continue to bring content straight to you guys. You hear from us in sales meetings, you get emails, you see us in person, we grab lunch together. But there are some burning questions out there that you guys can give to us or have given to us. And we're going to take just a little bit of time today to talk about one of the most elusive questions, I think, in any industry, but especially in real estate, work-life balance, right? Yeah. Real estate does not shut off.
Right.
I'm scared to look at my phone. You're probably scared to look at your phone.
Yep.
As an agent, even more so. You guys are dealing with clients all the time. You have personal lives. Sometimes your personal lives bleed into your clients, working with friends and family, yep, which is really hard. It's not always the best. But at the end of the day, everybody needs a piece of you and everybody needs you to be your best, and trying to figure out how to balance it while still giving your clients what they need and your home life, whatever that looks like for you, is something that we always want to try to encourage and support as a company. So of course I could wax poetic on all the things the company tries to provide as far as support staff and softwares and trainings to give you guys back that most important currency, which is time.
Right.
Money is great, but time is so limited, mm-hmm, that is what we try to do as a company. But we still know there's a struggle. And I think today, John is going to help us walk through best practices. How long have you been in real estate?
I've been licensed since 1992.
1992, everybody. Okay, so he knows a thing or two. He's sold, he's managed, he's brokered, he's above brokered, he's done it all. But he also, you know, again, has a family and has an important faith that he drives into on the weekends, that he wants to make sure that, you know, he is focused on his family when he is at home. So trying to figure out for you guys what that can look like. We'll start talking right now about the market is picking up. And as an agent, that means you're busier, you're excited, but now I'm panicking, right?
Right.
I'm panicking. I've got lots of buyers. I've got a couple listings, which has some showings, which has my sellers in a tizzy, which makes me in a tizzy. How do I prioritize? Where do I start?
Well, at first I'll say with this work-life balance thing, we'll just all try to figure it out together.
That's
because
right.
I have not, I've been trying for about 30 years to figure it out.
Yeah.
And
we'd write a book if you had it figured out.
I'm still in hot pursuit of the work-life balance.
That's
so
fair.
We'll try to talk them a little separately, I guess.
Okay.
First of all, you mentioned the, if the market's picking up and, you know, what do I do?
Mm-hmm.
And I think the first thing is simply to, you know, get engaged, to jump in. And by that, I mean, and this will be very basic start, but I think things like just start doing those open houses every Sunday,
mm-hmm,
because here's why I say that. When we say the market is picking up, right? We hear that from agents. The market's picking up. What does that mean?
Right.
It just means activity is coming. It means the phone is ringing. It means people are out and about looking at houses. So
yep,
as an agent, you need to be where the action is. So when I say open house, I mean, you can talk to many of our top agents and they'll tell you that is how they are a big part of how they built their career.
Yep.
Because it puts you in front of those warm prospects that are actually out in the market looking.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where you want to be for the, I guess, the quickest result as the market picks back up.
Yep.
So, you know, that along with more exposure, you know, your social media, those type things, just again, jump back in.
I mean,
the wave is coming.
Right,
so right. Ride.
And I do think, you know, we have agents that have previous careers before they get into real estate. A lot of this is a great second career for people, whether they have, you know, worked 5 years, 10 years, 20 years outside of this industry. We have nurses, we have teachers,
yeah,
we have sales, you know, folks from other industries. And I think it's the same. I think, you know, figuring out where you want to make the biggest impact, mm-hmm, and work and sticking with that instead of trying to do it all, because you can't
absolutely
do it all.
No.
And we tell people all the time, agents and, you know, people in other industries, podcasts, social media, if video, if that isn't for you, don't waste your time doing,
sure,
it. If you like to pick up the phone and make a phone call, there's a lot of people that don't. So do that.
Yeah.
If you like to handwrite letters, do that. But prioritizing, like you said, you know, kind of where your strengths are and just going for it.
Absolutely.
And we see a lot of top agents still doing open houses on every weekend.
Yeah. And I mean, that's a very basic thing,
mm-hmm,
but it's a way to to tap into the activity that's now out there. It's springtime. People want to get out.
That's right.
There's more inventory on the ground, so people are looking.
Yep.
So that's just one of, like you said, many things. Social media, evaluate your lead generation strategies and start to prioritize where you're best suited.
Yeah. Okay. So my business is growing. That's exciting. I'm starting to make a little pocket change. I'm trying to figure out, I've got enough to spend on driving people to me or driving my brand out into the market. Not just from an advertising perspective, but what do you think the best use and how do you know how much to spend? Is there kind of a magic quota there of how much to save and how much to spend and how to know what to spend it on?
Yeah. And that is so difficult for agents to get a grip on as they grow, because what happens is, I've seen it so many times over the years, particularly in maybe the newer up and coming agent, mm-hmm. they're starting to get momentum.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, you know, they've got multiple deals pending at one time.
Right.
And they think, I got to have an assistant. But, you know, I think that the key to that is to tough it out for a little while and see, you know, is this just a kind of a flash where I'm kind of doing this, or have I stabilized at this level where I really need help?
Right.
And so that's when you start thinking about maybe bringing on an administrative assistant. You know, that's when you start thinking about spending some more money on, mm-hmm. on marketing and that type thing. And then, and you would know, this is always one of my go-tos, is call Megan.
Yeah.
Let's get in front of Jeremy, Megan.
That's right.
Let's figure out, you know, what you can do with the spend that you have.
Yeah.
So tap into the resources that we offer.
That's right. That's right. Absolutely. And the strategy sessions that we do with agents are, I mean, fabulous. I think everybody has such a different opinion coming into them, and sometimes they leave with a different opinion. We try to challenge, right? If you feel like you should spend dollars in one place, challenge you to say, okay, what does success look like?
Yeah.
You spend $1,000 a month on a billboard. What does success look like? Is that just somebody mentioning they saw it? Is that getting a lead? Mm-hmm. And success is different for everybody, as is success in business, obviously. Right. Now, you touched on assistants. If I am ready to hire a licensed or unlicensed assistant, that's a good question. Should they be licensed? Should I get them licensed? If they're not licensed, they're maybe very organized and I know them from another walk of life, or maybe they've come to me from somebody else. What are your thoughts on licensed versus unlicensed to kind of help that work-life balance?
I think just overwhelmingly in my mind, they need to be licensed. Maybe not day one.
Right.
But I know it depends on some of the tasks that they're doing, but I'm telling you, to have them licensed, number one, it keeps you out of trouble, because if they're going to answer the phone on your behalf, you almost cannot have a conversation
with a
client without violating the license law if you don't have one. Okay. So for that reason, you know, to keep you out of trouble. And then a licensed assistant opens up a whole new scope of duties that this person can do to help you.
Yep.
So, you know, our top agents and they usually have a licensed person. Overwhelmingly, if they're not day one, you need to work towards getting a license.
And I agree. And I think, again, sometimes the skill set is there, but the license is not.
Right.
The skill set is equally as important. And finding that person that flows with your energy and relationship-wise is very important. Now, whether they are local or whether they are virtual or whether they are in the office or whether they're going to work from home, I do think that helps you with that work-life balance. And if they're licensed, they can take on different activities, open houses, and they can do some of that.
You mentioned too, initially, if you're unsure if you can afford a full-time assistant, like I was saying earlier, sometimes you get this momentum of business and you're not sure if it's going to last. You may want to initially try a virtual or remote assistant.
Yeah, temporary.
Where you can pay on a per transaction. Just to kind of test the waters of how it helps you.
Yeah.
And so that's a good way to kind of get your feet wet.
And that's one of yours and mine favorite thing that we do is this business planning with agents, right? You are growing and we try to protect our agents.
Right.
We're not going to just say, go spend all the money you're making because we know how cyclical real estate is, obviously. Sure. But also we want to help push you and challenge you as agents, because we know with that extra help comes a layer, and I could think of 10 agents off the top of my head right now, comes that layer of protection of when they answer the phones for you or answer social media messages.
Yeah.
But also they can show properties for you. They can go to home inspections for you.
Sure.
So building a team doesn't have to be 25 agents working with you, but it could be a key engine. We call it the engine, right? It keeps the car going, and we have a lot of great engines here working with our agents. So I think that's a great work-life balance technique.
We had an agent recently who was, producing a lot of business, but just kind of overwhelmed with trying to keep up with the mountain of paperwork.
Right.
Who hired an assistant, and I talked to this agent the other day, and they said that changed my life.
Yeah.
I mean, it was great. So, not everybody's ready. You need to be ready to get there.
You got to be ready, but it's also amazing as agents. You guys aren't always the best at paperwork. I mean, I just think we need to put the elephant in the room. Yeah. Some of us don't read emails.
Right.
I know. John. But that's okay, because you know what? He is so good at so many other things. And as agents, we want you guys in front of your clients. We want you guys on the phone. We want you showing property. We want you doing, again, those income producing tasks. Anything that we can do either as a staff or to help you find someone to staff your own self, your team, is going to help you in the long run. So, okay, now on the opposite side of that, I'm at a plateau all of a sudden, right? I've had, let's say, 5 years in the business and had some really good successes. I feel confident whether I have somebody working with me or not. Everybody's telling me different things to try. How do I cut through that noise? You know, what works as far as recentering myself to get back in flow with my business?
I think the first thing to realize is that hitting a plateau is just a normal part of growing.
Okay.
I mean, if you grow, you are going to hit that because you are one person. You can only be so many places at one time. You can only handle so much at one time.
Right.
And so the first step is to recognize that you've hit it, okay? And then secondly, to realize that that's not a bad thing.
Okay.
It's just part of growing.
Right.
Every business hits it. And then in our case, with the services that we offer and the support we offer, I would say when you feel like that, reach out to us, to your broker, to you, to me, and let us sit down and kind of help you analyze that. And we need to evaluate, what are you doing in lead generation? Do you need to change that? Mm-hmm. What is your strategic plan? What are the activities you're doing? Where are you farming? Just an analysis of your business,
right,
so that we can offer some strategies to break through that.
And sometimes it's as easy as just getting back to basics. I would love to sit in front of any of y'all as agents and say, here's 10 things, that you could spend money on, and social media things and technology. But a lot of times it's back to basics on hosting open houses, writing handwritten notes, calling your clients, texting your clients. Now, yes, you can use drip campaigns and you can automate some of that, but getting back to basics with relationships in any industry, but especially in real estate sales is step one.
And you should always, no matter what level you're at, always reach out and work that sphere. Keep in touch with those people.
Yeah.
Those people, as we always say, they know, like, and trust you.
That's right.
And I am, as you are too, we're included in a lot of the things the agents are doing. If they're doing a newsletter, they'll include us in it. And it makes me so proud to get those things consistently, because I know if I'm getting them,
other people are too. That's right.
And so, yes, you just be persistent. Always stick to the basics.
I
think that's the danger in our business, is people try to evolve too much into the technology, which is all good.
Sure.
But you got to have
that
balance.
There's a place for it. There's a place for it. And I do think, to that point, just the elephant in the room, ChatGPT and AI and all the great things, it makes my blood boil when I see listings out there, guys.
Right.
And you guys have used someone else to automate that wording, and it does not sound like you at all. And then they're going to meet you. It's like using a headshot that's 20 years old.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert, everybody changes.
Yeah.
Now, some of us change for the better, obviously. We age well. Yeah. But at the end of the day, when you are then meeting with a client and you've used words like wonderful, and you would never use a word wonderful or wondrous or something. So let's all just be very leery of how technology, while it can enhance our business, cannot replace you.
Sure.
It cannot replace your broker. It cannot replace, quite frankly, any of the support staff, because there is a personal touch that has to still be in real estate. John, I know a lot of times we lean back on books and webinars and different things to help us work through some of the industry issues that we're facing, the challenges, leadership books, real estate books, anything related to work-life balance that you have read suggestion wise that you can give us, and then kind of what synopsis do you feel like you've pulled from that's sure. helped you?
Yeah. And I'll say first and foremost, my go-to is the Bible. Sure. That's the one I build everything else on, because it gives you God's perspective on how we should live every area of life.
That's true.
And when
yes.
you start talking about, you know, the different segments that make up your life, and when you do that according to what God says, it all flows together to give you not only that balance, but fulfillment.
Right.
So start there. Outside of that, tons of books that are good on relationship building, everything from the old Dale Carnegie stuff, How to Win Friends and Influence People,
uh-huh.
that basic stuff that's so timely and stands the test of time.
Right.
But recently, a couple things. I had somebody recommended a book on work-life balance that I have not read yet, and it was called, if I can remember it, Work Less, Make More.
Okay, that sounds like
and
a good one.
I forget the author's name. It was Jennifer White.
Okay.
But it was Work Less, Make More. Okay. I haven't read it, but supposedly it gives some good insight on work-life balance. If it's anything like the title, it
yeah,
should.
Yeah, sounds like
work
it should.
Work Less, Make More.
Right.
Everybody wants that. But one, you know, again, outside of the Bible, probably the biggest self-help book for me as far as life work balance
sure.
was a book called The Man in the Mirror. Now, this
okay.
is for men, all our male, I don't know how many male listeners we
yeah,
got
yeah.
out there, but Man in the Mirror really forces you to look at self-awareness, number one. It forces you to look at what is your purpose, what is important, what kind of legacy do you want to leave, and it really, again, outside the Bible, I've never had a book just dissect me
yeah.
and make me make a real strong look at who I am and who I want to be.
Okay.
And there's a lot of stuff there that's helped me with the work-life balance.
Right.
So those three, and of course, obviously there are other books, like I said, you know, some of the Dale Carnegie stuff.
Yeah.
And, John Maxwell's got some good leadership stuff.
Yeah. I think I'm envisioning now all of a sudden the Maybaum Book Club.
Yeah,
here we go.
Yeah,
Maybaum Book Club. Agents, if you're interested, drop a comment or send us an email. John and I both have been tasked sometimes with reading books.
Yeah.
And a lot of times you find that was probably the best task you could have been given, because it's yeah. hard to slow down enough to read books on how to help personal growth, which also really affects our business growth.
Yeah.
You know, Eat That Frog. Do you remember that book we read?
I remember
Eons
that
ago?
Frog, yeah.
You know,
it wasn't my favorite, but it had
the principle, yeah, right, the principle is you eat the frog is you do the worst thing first in
yeah.
the day.
Get it out of the way.
And I will say that's different every day.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's a phone call. Sometimes it's an email. Sometimes it's a meeting.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's working out. Like, you don't want to do it, but you're going to do something that you don't want to do first part of your day. And I do go back to that reflecting wise and say, in a busy day, do the worst thing first. It's
yeah.
easier to get that out of the way. The rest of the day should be smooth sailing. So I don't know, Maybaum Book Club.
I like it.
Cliff Notes also.
I
we
like
might need
it.
To get some Cliff Notes, but
Book of the Month.
You guys let us know maybe what you want us all to read. So circling back to work-life balance as we wrap up here, as it pertains to my image, you know, a lot of our agents are very involved in the community. They serve on boards. They're involved in committees. They travel sometimes with these different organizations, which is great, or their church. They have children. They're involved yeah. in their children's, you know, sports and schools and all the things. Also, some of them do other things outside of real estate. Some people have lives. I know it's
yeah.
crazy.
Yeah.
But with that being said, social media can paint such a picture. And I go back to when agents sometimes will say they want to raise their average price point, and they're worried that if they just try to attract luxury clients, then their, you know, smaller price point homes maybe are going to be thinking they're not interested anymore.
Right.
How can we overcome that, still have a life, still be able to present that you have a life, but not be looked at as not interested or focused on real estate?
Yeah, I mean, it's about reality versus perception.
Sure.
I mean, you want to have that life,
right,
and still be productive. So I think it starts with priorities. You have to be honest about what are my real priorities in both areas, personal life and work life.
Right.
Priorities. And then I would say boundaries. That's the hard
that's
one. That's
yeah.
the one I've always struggled with. I think, you know, we so want to answer every call right away. And mm-hmm. it doesn't matter if we're in the middle of a family dinner.
Right.
all of that. And that is so difficult for a real estate agent to get a grip on. So, but you have to set those boundaries.
Yeah.
Along with the priorities. And then I think the perspective is another thing. That the one thing I've learned over the years, and I am the world's worst of just, you know, drop everything to take care of this problem.
Sure.
But yeah. I think in reality, it's the world's not always ending with every problem.
That's true.
Every problem is
can't be a fire drill.
It's not the crisis we tend to make it. And I think you just need to take a breath, slow down, set some boundaries. And it's going to be all right.
Right.
But as far as when you do have that balance, I mean, obviously we want our clients to think that we're on call 24/7.
All the time, right.
Because we are. We just don't want to be bothered 24/7, but we are available
24/7. Right, so right.
That being said, I think, and you hit on it, to keep that perspective out there that you're on the job, that's the beauty of social media. You can still post stuff about business all the time. Just keeping your name out there. I mean, agents have, you know, billboards. You see those that says, hey, I'm in business.
That's right.
Social media posts, I'm in business. It's just, it's a mix. I had an agent one time that he was running a commercial campaign.
Okay.
And he called me and he said, you know, I want to back off on this. Do you think it's going to hurt me if I cut down the frequency? And my answer was no. Because if it's happening, every day or every third day, people are still going to think it's out there all the time.
Top of mind.
So it's that kind of thing. Right. Keep your image out there. Keep your face out there. Keep your message out there. But, and remember this too, depending on the client or the lead, if it's somebody that is referred to you or a previous client, they're going to be more open to, you know, hey, I'm tied up today. Right. I've got a family thing going on today, but I can meet you tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and agents are good enough to know the ones that I got to drop everything or I'm going to miss it.
Right.
Or the ones that'll work with them.
That's right.
And it's just being confident in yourself, because you do offer value. They called you for a reason. And so just, you know, be confident in yourself, get your priorities like they should be, set some boundaries and then do the best. I mean, and take it from somebody who doesn't know how to do it.
Okay?
So, I mean, we're all, as I said earlier, we're just trying to figure it out together.
Well, and some days are better than others. You know, some days you can have boundaries. You know, my phone is staying in the car. I'm going into church or I'm going into a family dinner and my phone's staying in the car. And then some days you know that you are just going to be upside down in phone calls and you're going to have to beg forgiveness for what you're missing.
Well, and you know, you make a good point. You said every day is different. And it's almost like having, you know, a newborn baby in the house.
Yep.
You got to sleep when the baby sleeps.
Yeah.
You got to be there when the baby's awake.
It's
like, you know, there's times when you can.
Yeah. Let's amend that statement. Dads can sleep when the baby sleeps. Mom stares at the baby sleeping to make sure that the baby is still okay.
Yeah.
There's a big difference there. No, I'm kidding. But the boundaries are a good thing everybody has to work on. And I do just want to reemphasize to our agents, we want you working in the community. We want you giving back. I mean, that's a core value of the company and our brokerage as a whole. We want you spending time with your kids. We want you on the sidelines coaching soccer teams if that is your passion. We want your clients to feel taken care of. So it's not that there's a perfect solution. Leaning on staff, leaning on the systems that we provide, figuring out if you should hire or have a team. But then also, like you've said, making the boundaries to be able to say, this is most important right now.
Well, and two, one other thought on that too, when we talk about these boundaries, sometimes it's a stage of life too. I mean, sometimes you're in a position where you can work more, you want to work more.
Right,
but then, in our case, we got a grandbaby coming soon and you want to, you got to put that in the mix.
Yeah, so,
I guess the last thing I'd say on that work-life balance is, you know, obviously you expect the broker and us to say, oh, get out there and work.
Yeah.
More listings, more sales. And certainly, you know, we're in business for that. But at the same time, I would ask you as an individual agent to evaluate, what does success mean to you?
Right.
I mean, success does not have to be some seven-figured income where you're doing nothing but work. Now, maybe if that's what you want, but it can also be, you know, a healthy income and a healthy business, but also life.
Right.
And so find out what that, one thing I've learned the definition of success does not fit everybody across the board.
No,
not a one size fit all. And so, and that's what the man in the mirror did for me. It forces you to look at that.
What is
if your guy read it, and if you're married, get your wife to read it so she'll understand.
If that explains the men folk to us, then maybe we should get that.
Not
for all
near
of our
as complicated
agents.
As you guys.
Oh
are,
Lord, okay. Well, you heard it here. This will break down the DNA of the men that we work and live with. So, I appreciate that perspective. I do think it's very important to come from someone like you who has brokered agents through. Probably a lot of breakdowns. There's a lot of breakdowns in real estate. And if you're in a breakdown right now because you haven't figured it out, know that we are here to support you, but also know that it is a moving target at all times. And like the newborn phase, you obviously black it out and you have another baby a couple years down the line because it does get better. It does change. They do sleep eventually. Yep. Deals do work out. Clients do get nicer sometimes, and you have that opportunity to, kind of redeem if you're down on the industry. But As far as work-life balance goes, we are all going to keep shooting for that. And I appreciate you giving us your insight, male or otherwise.
It's just, again, so hard to figure that out.
Absolutely.
I mean, it really is.
Absolutely. Well, guys, stay tuned for the next Maybaugh Perspective. We'll see you soon.